Well, it is Easter day. What a great day, a glorious day to be a believer in Jesus, the resurrection and the life. This is how it happened, as Mark records it. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you."
What a wonderful world God has made. That is so true, isn't it? If you cast your minds outside these buildings, we've got a lovely blue sunny sky. We've got rivers. We've got mountains. We've got beaches. But look inside this church. What a wonderful world God has made. He's made you lot, and you lot are wonderful. Mothers, brothers, sisters, friends, so many things that God has given us. Really wonderful world that God has made, and all these superb gifts for us to enjoy. But, if we look around, we know that there's things in this world that aren't wonderful, and they're called sin. Things like telling lies, things like cheating, things like hurting each other. So many things like that in the world, aren't there, that just are really horrible. And they're called sin. And God just cannot tolerate sin. We can't be friends with God when there's sin like that. But just imagine for one moment that you said to me, "Actually, Roger, just relax, man. Relax. Chill out. I'm a pretty good person. I do practically nothing wrong at all. Surely God will accept me just as I am." Well, just for one moment, imagine that you are a pretty fantastic person. You are so good that you only ever do one thing wrong in a day. You are so good that you only ever think one wrong thing in a day. And that sticker represents the one wrong thing that you are going to do today. Today's Sunday. Tomorrow is Monday. Another wrong thing. Another wrong thought. You probably realize that Mondays are followed by Tuesday. Oh dear, another wrong thought. A week goes by. Another week goes by. So many wrong thoughts, so many sins. A month has gone by. And then another month has gone by. And then another month has gone by. So much sin. I worked it out. I am 576 months old. Can you imagine how many stickers of sin I've got? Can you imagine that? And all this stuff, it gets between me and God. It's a barrier between me and God. And that's why Jesus had to come, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful that Jesus came? He was born. He lived the perfect life. He chose to die on a cross so that he could take the punishment for all this horrible sin, and we can just chuck it to one side. We can be friends with God because of what Jesus has done. He takes the punishment for our sin. I'm just going to pray for us now very briefly. So if you'll just close your eyes, that'd be fantastic. Father in heaven, we give thanks to you that you love us so much, that Jesus came to earth and that he lived a perfect life and then died taking the punishment for all the bad things that we've done. We thank you that today we remember that he didn't stay dead, but he came back to life and is even now with you in heaven. And Lord, we just want to thank you that one day we will be with you in heaven too. We will be with Jesus. And Lord, we just praise you for that. Amen.
Amazing words in that song, which told us why Jesus came into the world. Because God had made a perfect world, like we sang to start. And then Rog told us how that, because of what we've done, because of those bad things that have crept in, that they kind of spoilt God's world. And that God himself needed to come into our world through Jesus Christ to save us. And I want to just ask two questions this morning. Two questions. And the first one is this. Why did Jesus have to die? And you say, well, we've answered that one already. It's to take away those bad things. But why Jesus? Why did that have to be the plan? Why was it Jesus who had to die? Why did God have to come into the world which he'd made to die? And I would like you to picture with me a school class. For some of you, that will be easier than others. For some of you, it was further away. But work hard with me. Picture a school class, probably year 5 or year 6, like the lads I had up with me this morning. There's about 30 of them. They're not the best behaved class, it must be said, generally. But their teacher is very firm. Let's call them Miss Baker. Just pull her name out. Miss Baker's the teacher. She's very firm with them, keeps them all in line. But every student's favourite day, a temporary teacher comes in for the day, a supply teacher. And this class do not behave at all for their supply teacher. They tell her all sorts of lies. They tell her that they're allowed up on the field at break time and the break lasts an hour and a half instead of the usual 15 minutes. They tell them that flicking each other in class is acceptable. They misbehave. The teacher has to go into the cupboard at one point to pull herself together. The class have been so naughty. Now, I'm sure that's hard for some of you, especially my boys. They would never behave like that. We're all perfect kids down in Trailblazers, or so they tell me. But imagine that class, and imagine the next day when Miss Baker comes in. She is mad. She is annoyed. And she dishes out the worst punishment known to an entire body. Things that make kids, and especially teenagers, shudder. She hands out a class detention. She doesn't just single one or two out. It is a class detention. Everyone in the class has to stay in and get in trouble and serve a punishment together. Every kid hates a class detention because every kid feels that it wasn't their fault. So, and it was everyone else's fault. But Miss Baker keeps in the whole class. And no one hates it more than one of the boys who we will call Jimmy. I don't know why. It sounds like James and might remind me of myself slightly. So Jimmy isn't fussed on this class detention. The sun is shining like it is today, and he wants to go out at break time. So Jimmy decides that he will think of a way to go and get out of his class detention. So he goes to Miss Baker, and he says to Miss Baker, he says, if I can find someone to take my place in the class detention, can I go out to play? Miss Baker, being a modern-minded teacher, thinks, well, this is an excellent learning opportunity. We'll play along. And she says, Jimmy, if you can find someone who can take your place on the class detention, then you can go out and play. So Jimmy has a good look around his class, and he sees his friends, and he has a good look around. And he says, how about Billy? How about Billy takes my place on the class detention? And Miss Baker says, no, Jimmy, Billy can't take your place on the class detention because Billy's got his own detention. Billy's part of the class. So he has to do his own detention. So he can't take yours as well. It's only one detention. So Jimmy scratches his head and he looks around. And he looks around the class and he says, okay, if not Billy, how about Bobby? And Miss Baker again says, no, Billy, Jimmy, Bobby can't take your class detention because Bobby is the hamster. Now, do you see? The reason Billy can do it is that he had his own punishment. And the reason Bobby couldn't do it is because he was a hamster. And hamsters generally in life don't get punished, especially in class detentions. He was something, it wasn't his punishment. And that's why Jesus was the one who had to come into the world and deal with the punishment. Because the punishment was not God's punishment. It was people's punishment. It wasn't that God could just get rid of the punishment, or God could punish himself, so to speak, like that, because it wasn't God's punishment. It wasn't an angel's punishment. It wasn't an alien's punishment. It was people's punishment. We each deserve punishment for all the wrong things we do. That's what we're told, and if you really think about it, it's fair. If we do something wrong, we agree that we should be punished. So it was people's punishment. So God in and of himself could not do it, but we all had our own punishment. So it couldn't be another man to take our punishment, or it couldn't be another lady or another person, because it was our punishment. So it couldn't have been just God, and it couldn't have been just man. And that was the very reason why Jesus had to come into the world. We celebrated it just a few weeks ago at Christmas time, that God loved the world so much that he sent himself, he sent his own son into the world to take our place. Jesus was both God and both man. He could take the punishment on behalf of man, but he was perfect and sinless. So he didn't have his own punishment to pay. So for that very reason, that is why it had to be Jesus to die. It couldn't have been anyone else. It had to be Jesus. So Jesus came in the world. He lived his perfect life. Perfect is a concept we struggle with. Not 99 out of 100 times he got it right. Not just one sin a day. Completely perfect in every way. Yet on Friday, if you were with us, we were thinking about what happened to Jesus on Good Friday. And here I've got what happened. They came and they took Jesus away. Not for anything wrong he'd done himself. His disciples were devastated. They took him away. The soldiers came. Peter got his sword lopped off the soldier's ear. Jesus said no and put it back. He had an unfair trial and he was taken away. And he was said to be crucified. They said that they would crucify Jesus. And on Friday we remembered, when Phil was speaking to us, that Jesus was crucified with two other criminals. The Bible tells us that they were both thieves. And there was Jesus in the middle, that's the red cross, and the two black crosses were the thieves. And people gathered. The disciples and Jesus' friends were sad, but people jeered and mocked. They made fun of Jesus. And the conversation that we thought about on Friday even happened on the crosses. This thief here said, Jesus, he said, if you're who you say you are, get yourself down off the cross, save yourself, and take me and the other guy with you. The other guy said to this guy, he said, shush, do you not know who you are talking about? He said, we are here on the cross because we deserve it. We've done bad things and we're being punished for them. But this man has done nothing bad, yet he dies in the same way as us. And the thief said to Jesus, he said, Jesus, remember me when you go to your kingdom. And Jesus turned and said to him, he said, today you will join me in paradise. Crucifixion was an awful way to die. You would hang until you died. Sometimes that didn't happen very soon. These two men both had their legs broke, so that they couldn't rest, that they hung. Jesus had already died. He was definitely dead. They put a sword in his side to make sure. But all three men died in the same way on the cross. And all three men were put into a tomb that looked a bit like that. Not into a grave, but in a tomb with a stone in front. And that's where the similarities end. Of course, Jesus was dealing with a lot more than just the physical pain of dying. He was taking those bad things away, the sin as well. But the difference ended there, because if you looked in the tomb, you will see one of the thieves' bodies still there. And another one of the thieves' bodies still there. But if you look inside this tomb now, you will see that Jesus' body is not inside the tomb. Now some of you are thinking you're a bit clever because you can see this one here. I'm thinking I've done this wrong, but it wasn't, because the story goes that we remember this morning that the ladies went down to the tomb. It was in the passage that Peter read to us. The ladies went down to the tomb They were going to treat the body because the body would have smelt and it had been in the tomb for a long time. But when they got down there, the stone at the front of the tomb had been rolled away, and they got and they looked inside and Jesus was not there. But there was an angel sitting on the stone and said those words to him, to the ladies, "Why are you looking for Jesus here?" And this is what was said. It says, "He is not here." That's what the angel said to them. "He is not here. Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead?" Now, some of you down here are still not impressed because you think it's on the other side, but it's not, because the angel said, "He is not here. He has risen." He is not here. He has risen. Look, have a look for yourself in the tomb, he said. Nothing there. Completely gone, because Jesus was not there. He is not here. He is risen. The angel told the lady, "Go back and tell his disciples and tell Peter and tell all his friends that Jesus is not here." And they saw him. And it was wonderful. And it was exciting. And my second question to finish is just this. Why did Jesus have to come back to life? Why did Jesus have to die? It had to be Jesus to deal with those bad things, with that sin. But why did he have to come back to life? Why did he need to rise? It was a great thing he came back to life. People were so excited. The disciples were so excited. The other week in clubs we looked at the story about Thomas, who didn't believe Jesus had come back to life. And then Jesus came and said, "You want to put your hands there and your hands there to prove it?" And Thomas and the friends were so excited. And Jesus went back to heaven where he is now, where he is reigning with God. But why did Jesus have to come back to life? There's a few Bible verses just to finish. 1 Corinthians says, "If Christ had not been raised, then your faith, there's nothing to it. You're still guilty of your sins. Those in Christ who have already died are lost. If our hope in Christ is for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone else in the world." Paul, one of the writers who found Jesus, was saying, if it's only for this life, if Jesus hasn't come back to life and we've got no proof, then how do we know our sins aren't forgiven? And he said in another part in Romans, he says, "Jesus, God's son Jesus, was given to die for our sins, and he was raised from the dead to make us right from God." Good Friday, we came together to celebrate or to thank God for what he was doing with dealing with our sins on the cross. But today, we celebrate that he came back to life because we know he came back to life, and that gives us a hope, a sure hope, not a guess, not a, "Oh, I really hope I win the lottery" kind of hope, even though I haven't bought a ticket. Not that kind of hope, but a real hope which says Jesus has come back from the dead. He died. He took my sins. He died and came back to life, and now he's in heaven. I can trust him. My sins are forgiven, and I can rely on him. The verse said it's not just a hope for this life, although that's a pretty good one, that we've got someone who's taken our sins and come back to life and in heaven, but that we can one day go and be with him, that we can be friends with God. The problem that Roger's sin line was held, that it was separating us from God. Those bad things separated us from God. But because of what Jesus was able to do, Roger was able to throw them away. And that's what the Bible says, that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All those bad things can be taken away. And I can stand here this morning and say that for sure, because Jesus has come back to life and he's dealt with sins. So why did Jesus have to die? It had to be God come down as a man to take that punishment for me, for you. And why did he have to come back alive? So we know that that sin is dealt with forever. Last week in Kids Church, we were talking about how our sin is gone. We were throwing little orange tablets, vitamin tablets, into water and watching them dissolve. That's what God says. Our sin is gone as far as the east is from the west. That's an invitation for whoever wants it this morning. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord and says, "Jesus, I realize that it had to be you who died, because no one else could deal with my punishment, and I would have had to die. But you've died in my place. I thank you for that. I thank you for what we remembered on Friday, that Jesus died. But also, we celebrate today because Jesus came back to life, and we know that sins can be forgiven. We thank him for that. And he says, whoever calls on his name will be saved. And he will be their friend in this life, and we will be with him forever. Our hope is certain, and it's for now, and it's for the future. Shall I pray for us? If we close our eyes and put our hands down so we're not fussing, and we'll think about what God has done and why we celebrate today. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Friday we came together and remembered the sacrifice you made for us, that you died on the cross in our place. And Father, we celebrate today because we serve that risen King. We serve a King who has taken our place in punishment, but who has come back alive so we can have hope, a certain hope forever. Father, we pray that you'll be with us today in the celebrations and the family time. We praise you for them, but we pray that we would remember why we are celebrating, that we are reflecting on our risen King. We thank you so much for the punishment you paid. We thank you that you came so we could be friends with God again. We praise your holy name. Amen.